Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and I am super excited because it's very rare that I have the eclectic privilege of having an entrepreneur, a leader, a visionary who has walked the walk and has also backed the talk. And that's someone named Ryan Angott. Thank you for joining me on Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Thanks, Dave. Love to be here. Appreciate it.
Of course. Well, when I think of you, I think of myself in the respect that you know how to get a lot out of a little. And what I want to start with is understanding the harmony between the idea of being scarce compared to being thrifty. And you have a very abundant mindset. You look at things in a huge way. You make investments in your time, emotion, and money into opportunity, but you don't have waste. How do you harmonize the idea of being thrifty, utilizing and getting the most or more out of less compared to having a scarce mindset where you're not making the necessary investment and you're running out of fear?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the core trait of great entrepreneurs, and I'm aspiring to get there to your level, Dave, and some of your peers. But I got some years to go. You know, I think I'm a little younger than you, but that's okay.
You're a lot younger, but you look better.
It's a lot of hair pills and, you know, I do Botox, all that stuff. So, you know, I think it's creativity. And honestly, I get that from my dad's gene. My dad is a, inventor, 44 patents, and he's blessed with creative thinking from a invention standpoint. Like, he'll look at an opportunity to build a product and have a creative mindset around engineering from that lens. And I've been blessed with that from a business perspective of creativity, where if you don't have, you got to stretch your buck every way to Sunday. How can you look at something with getting what you want, but not spending what you don't have? And I think that's the difference between mediocre and great entrepreneurs on how to find a way if you don't have budget to make something happen. And a classic story of that recently that came up is that I have an employee, very good. She handles my social media, and we have her capped on how much we can spend with her because we're just watching every dollar we spend right now. And I said, you know what, Anne-Marie, I'll tell you what, if you want to run our TikTok shop, I will pay you a commission on whatever you sell instead of just paying her hourly. And I'm paying her hourly on some other things. And it was kind of that, oh, well, this could be a way to bring in revenue without costing me more money, but also getting our advancement on our TikTok shop. That is one of many ways of a creative mindset to structure a little deal to bring in revenue without costing our company money.
And you mentioned a company that you founded, co-founded, called TechLock, which has amazing products. And I always look at a company and say, there's a million amazing products, ideas, innovations out there, but taking it to market has the greatest value. And it's much more difficult to take a great idea to market than it is to come up with a great idea and to develop that idea. Things happen very quickly when we have product services and solutions in taking it to market, because one thing holds true about a market changes instantly in its timing and its value and the emotion. And you never know what's going to create the biggest change, but it's promised that if you make a plan today, tomorrow, time, emotion, and value will change, which changes the market. What have you learned, or what advice would you give yourself from when you started to help to support the changes so that you're not at the whim or at the mercy of change?
Boy, yeah, we've had a lot. I mean, I started TechLock right before COVID.
This question was good before tariffs, but now that tariffs are here, it's even better.
Yeah. Well, you know, fortunately, we had the foresight to see the political change coming. So, I mean, you know, you can't predict everything. You try to do as best as you can with the knowledge you had. have. And I would say one of the things that we did, being a computer accessory brand, building something from the ground up, we said, you know, when we started right before COVID, Trump was in office. And we knew there was hostility with the political environment with China. And now, fast forward 5 years, oh my God, the fire is blazing red hot. And we fortunately, we did a lot of homework up front that said, let's plan on building outside of China. We looked at Vietnam, Mexico, Thailand, and we landed in India. Now, India came with some punishment and challenge naturally. In fact, we lost a lot of money because we chose the wrong supplier initially. But now that's smoothed out, and we are trying to shift all of our products, even some of the other things are out of China to India. And I guess that example was use as much knowledge as you possibly can with as much homework up front from the smartest people possible. We bet the right horse on India. What we should have done as we built the TechLock brand outside of LapLock is be more proactively prepared for when the time does come, like this tariff situation, that we could move quicker to India. And I guess that when things change, you just should be trying to proactively, we should have been more proactive and anticipate something with a AB plan. Like, A, if things just keep going the way they are, we're okay. But if this political rift does happen that everyone's living in now, how fast can we go so it doesn't hurt us? And that's been a mistake on ours that we're trying to make up for.
And speaking of mistakes, I've never met a successful entrepreneur that hasn't made a ton of mistakes, but they all have one thing, and it's commitment. They have a desire that they must be what they can be, and they will not quit. They will learn and change direction, but all types of companies re-innovate and re-educate and re-engineer themselves, as we see throughout history and human nature. You're very good at adjusting, and you have a desire that you must be what you can be. But nonetheless, what mistake in your past, whether it's personally or professionally, has had the greatest growth, the greatest benefit, and the most value? For me, it was obviously my bankruptcy. I always say, my wife hates when I say this. I'm like, I know people think I lost over $100 million. But I consider it an investment because I never would be in the position that I'm in if I
Sure.
didn't invest that money into the mistakes that I made. She hates that, by the way, and I understand why, but I really believe it. What mistake for you was your best investment?
That's a great point, and that's how you got to look at things. And I always told my dad, who's my co-founder and partner, I said, Dad, if this thing goes under or whatever, and we lost all of our money, it'd be a $500,000 of our personal cash that the school of the hard knocks, you know, but nowadays it's about the cost of a PhD anyway. So it's kind of harsh.
Right.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of learning lessons over the years, and boy, it's been challenging. You know, Dave, I would say at its core, true alignment with your co-founder. While my dad and I have a very good relationship now, it's been rocky, as most, you're never going to hear a startup that's not rocky, by the way. There's not
Right.
what, unless you're Zuckerberg, you know, you're a huge titan that's
Oh,
got
it was rocky for him. You forget the twins, right? All
I
the
do no I yeah I guess I'm saying nowadays,
Sean Parker, right?
yeah, if Zuckerberg spun off a new company, I'm sure he would be fine in not having some of the rockiness. But
Right.
for first time founders, especially in younger entrepreneurs, which I fall into, anything is going to be difficult. It's just the nature of the beast. And I think, you know, looking back, your co-founder or partner, you guys really need to be aligned with going to war, and what are the expectations on who is doing what and who is going to be putting in the work, and that balance. And when there's inequality and imbalance, that causes friction in some capacity. And mixing family with a business, like it's great, but it comes with pain. And I, throughout this process, even though we're in a great place, I wouldn't work with family again. That's the biggest learning thing, that I have two young daughters that are 4 and 6, and I've seen the stress it's taking over the last 5, 6 years on my dad and I, our relationship. And I just said, as a learning lesson, I will never work with my daughters. That's been for me personally. I just don't like mixing them.
Yeah, it's interesting because my oldest daughter works with me, and one of the things I said is, I can't work with my daughter. I will allow her to be trained by me, come to the meetings and my trainings, my events,
Yeah.
but I don't manage my daughter. And when the few but far between circumstances arise where I'm in a management capacity of my daughter, I try my best to back out of it as fast as possible, knowing that. In fact, my siblings, one of them in particular, I dreamed of working with my youngest brother because he's so talented. And I still dream about it. Wharton University School of Economics, Columbia, went to Wharton, just and like has done mergers with Playtex, and like I would dream, I make my life so easy. And
Yeah.
but he was smart enough to tell me to F off. I'll never work with you, bro. So he's much wiser than I am. Looking at the future, you have a variety of options, opportunities, and touches of favor. If I would ask you to align your capabilities today with what's doing well or what you think is going to be doing well, where do you see the greatest opportunity for someone like you with the capabilities that you have?
Yeah, and that's a good question. Another lesson learned is that as a founder, and my difference is I've been a big enterprise sales guy for about 10 years.
That's why I love you. That's where I come from.
Yeah, I mean, I love the big million-dollar complex deals and the big relationships. And when you start a company, you're back to selling peanuts and lemonade. And I get an order for $800 or $1,200, and I'm used to, back in the day, I would scoff at anything under 6 figures, and you're probably the same way, Dave. Now it's 7 or 8 figures, hell.
Exactly.
And so when you have that kind of callus of like what you're used to, what you love, it goes back to doing what you love, which means you're going to be probably good at it. And I'm good at strategic selling. I'm good at big relationships. I'm good at cultivating a vision. I am a visionary, and I love to sell and close deals, and really not just not the financial transaction, which is an outcome. I like solving complex business problems for these other small businesses and entrepreneurs, like my Filipino staffing agency, which I own. It's a beautiful little business. It's growing like crazy. And it's so consultative in nature, and it allows me to sell and actually sell with a solution. Whereas TechLock, my other business, you've got tariffs and patents and lawyers and crowdfunding. I mean,
And dad.
it goes on and on, and I don't get to sell that much. That's the hard part.
Yeah. So, looking at those opportunities, and there's one thing that a lot of people say, do you believe in the Elon Musk, Dave Meltzer philosophy of as many different opportunities that we can pursue and it all helps one another? Or if you had to do it again, should you only focus in on one thing?
I think, I'm more of your style and the Musk way. And the reason is, if you're strategic about it and you know how to leverage your time and you use a really good operating system like EOS or some of these other ones that we've adhered, and you're disciplined, that's the hard part, is being disciplined. I think it can do, it's the right approach. Especially if it can complement others. I got into TechLock before COVID, and I, because of a problem I had, which I couldn't get good, low cost help on a month-to-month basis. You know, everyone wants a full-time or part-time job, and I think we all know the labor problems in America. No one wants, a lot of people don't want to work, very expensive labor laws. You can't say the F word. You know, there's all sorts of things you can't do. And I stumble upon this Filipino staffing agency at $7 an hour, and I had some of the best workers I've ever had in my life to this day. And I said, hell, I'm going to build a tech lock empire and grow it to 100 million in sales. I'm going to need a lot of people. Might as well as buy into a staffing agency to help support that growth. So the hand glove relationship was paramount. So that's the model I believe in.
All right, last topic, which is my favorite topic. One of the things I'm most proud of in my career, and especially the last 18 years of it, once I learned my lessons, is that I believe that you can be a great entrepreneur, be a great husband, be a great father, and be a great community member. And a lot of people don't believe that you can have harmony of all those things. And I think it's because they look for balance, not harmony. And balance is very hard to achieve in an incremental day, 24 hours, which is truly what creates our perception. So, in your experience as a multiple entrepreneur, someone you and I share the same personality, the same, you're just younger and have more lessons to learn. Hopefully, not losing $100 million. I'll take care of that lesson for you. But
Thank
more
you.
importantly, do you believe that you're capable of harmonizing the most important parts of our lives, our health, our family, and our faith, with the financial aspirations that you have?
Easy to say, tough to do. That's how what I'll say is that I aspire to that. It is very difficult with a young family, especially there. I mean, children are the best thing in the world, but boy, they are demanding and they take, you know, it's just a lot of time and you need to give that time. You know, I have a 4-year-old, you probably hear him in the background. I have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. We're on spring break. And I believe in the harmony. I mean, it's kind of what I aspire to. And I haven't been perfect at it. And I think especially as a younger founder, going from the big corporate world of enterprise sales to a founder, boy, what a night and day difference. And, you know, it's almost like if you're not thinking about your business 24/7, you're kind of doing something wrong because you're obsessively foaming werewolf, passionate, obsessed with that business. But that can only go so long. And, you know, you'll start losing other relationships, or you'll be out of balance and harmony. And I struggle with that. But I will say the last 4 to 5 months, I've kind of centered myself again with the right coaching, the right meditation. I journal, you know, and that's where I think it can be done. It just takes a lot of discipline and practice, and it certainly has taken me a long time to get to a much better place of where I'm at.
I love the fact that you included the word practice. Our sports background elevated the awareness and prioritization of practice in everything we do, including selling. Once I realized that I couldn't just get by on a natural sales skill, that it had to be a profession, something that I practice. And I know you do the same and take that seriously as well. Ryan Angott, you are a serial and special entrepreneur doing such a great job in that pursuit of your potential. Check out TechLock. Give him a call if you're looking for some outsourced amazing employees as well. He is a true entrepreneur, which is what we look for here on Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.